Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Hey, how thankful are you? Would people describe you as a grateful, thankful person, or as someone who whines and gripes and complains on a regular basis? Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And today is Wednesday, November 2nd. We are in the month of Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving is one day in November, and November is known for that special Thursday. But for a Christian, we don't wait all year to thank the Lord. I think it's great that we have a day set aside in America to give thanks to God and to come together as a family and come together as friends and say, hey, we're going to gather and we're going to have a great meal together and we're going to thank God for his goodness. I think that's a great thing. But for a Christian, every day is Thanksgiving Day. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, through him then, the him is Jesus, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. We're to be thankful in all things. Now, when we think about Thanksgiving, we want to be thankful, grateful people, because God, that pleases him. For those of us who have children, we know that we don't like it when our kids would come downstairs in the morning, you know, getting ready for school, come downstairs, eat your breakfast, and they're grumbling, griping, complaining about something, as opposed to when they would come downstairs. Let's say I had three daughters. We had a two-story house, so they would come downstairs, and if they were happy and joyful and grateful and thankful, it was just so much more fun to be around them. Well, we know from the Old Testament, especially the children of Israel as they were wandering in the wilderness, I mean, their default setting was to grumble and gripe and complain. Now, I'm not trying to minimize that it was difficult wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, but Moses had to do it, Joshua had to do it, and they did it without grumbling, griping, and complaining. But the masses, they were not very grateful. And, you know, God would rain down manna every day except the Sabbath day. And each morning you go gather your breakfast, lunch, and dinner, this manna. Now, manna was wonderful. It was like wafers filled with honey. And you could cook with it. You could make all sorts of things with it. But it's manna. It doesn't become pizza. You know, it's manna. And so you'd have manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, manna for supper, manna. Well, 40 years of anything is going to be difficult. But instead of thanking God, thank you for this manna, because we could have nothing to eat. We could starve to death out here. What would they do? They would think about what they could have had, what they used to have. Oh, we remember back in Egypt when we had our pots of meat and our leeks and our onions. Oh, that was such a wonderful time. But now all we have is this manna, and we loathe this miserable food. That's what they said in the hearing of the Lord. They were not grateful. They were not thankful. Hey, in everything, give thanks. Now, we don't necessarily give thanks for everything. A slight variation. We don't give thanks for everything. I mean, let's be honest. If you get a report from the doctor that says, hey, we did this test and you have cancer, we hate to tell you, but you have cancer, nobody's jumping up and down and saying, yippee, I have cancer. Thank you, God, for this cancer. No, that's devastating news. But in everything, even in that news, we say, God, I thank you. I know that you're over this. I'm going to rejoice in you. I'm going to give you praise. I don't like this, but I'm going to do what James says, and I'm going to consider it all joy when I encounter these various trials. I'm going to take this trial, and I'm going to put it in the joy column. Consider it all joy is an accounting term. That means you put it on the asset column, not on the debit column. It's a plus, it's not a minus, because God is going to use this for good. So in everything, we give thanks and we rejoice in the Lord. As one of my friends said, Dr. Charles Lowry, hey, when you can't rejoice in your circumstances, you rejoice in the Lord. You know, sometimes we can rejoice in our circumstances because God is so good to us and he just blesses us in such a huge way. And we're just, God, you are so good to me. As one man said, he had to pull over one day and said, God, would you stop blessing me? Because I feel like my heart is going to burst with gratitude. You're so good to me. Now, that is a wonderful thing. And wouldn't it be something to be at that place where you have to ask God to stop blessing you? I think most of us would say, Lord, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory. Lord, thank you, and we praise you for all these many, many blessings. But the idea that God is just pouring it out so much that you can't contain it. Circumstances can be great, and we can praise him in the good times, but circumstances can be horrible, and we take those horrible circumstances, and by faith, we put that in the plus column, and we praise God in all things, in those harmful things, knowing that God is over it all. Well, as we think about Thanksgiving, as we think about this month and the special day coming up, and just how the Lord wants us to continually, Hebrews 13:15, continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. What is that? The fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. I want you to think about the account in Luke's gospel about the 10 lepers. You know, because if you're familiar with that account, 10 lepers came to Jesus and they stood at a distance and they raised their voices, Luke says, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They had leprosy. Leprosy was the worst disease. It is the worst disease. It's still a disease. It's called Hansen's disease. We've pretty much wiped that out here in the West, but other people still suffer with it. When you have leprosy, as that was such a horrible disease in the first century, it's very contagious. And it basically is a disease that eats away at your extremities, your fingers and your toes and your ears and your nose and your lips, and just eats that skin away and the bone away, and you lose all feeling, and so you get infection because you don't feel it when you burn yourself or when you cut yourself. It affects your vocal cords. It disfigures you greatly, and you basically become a rotting human being until you die. It's an isolating disease. You have to live in a leper colony. And when Jesus encountered these lepers, they stood at a distance because they were unclean. They couldn't go to the temple. You couldn't participate in life anymore. You had to leave your wife and your family and go live at a leper colony until you died. It was awful. And you would stink and you would cover yourself because you're just rotting. And so these 10 lepers, they raised their voice, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And it says, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now, he didn't say, you're healed. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. Now, that's what they were supposed to do in the law, in the Mosaic law. The priests were the health inspectors, and they would check them out. And if you had a skin disease, the priests would check it out to see, are you clean or unclean? And so there were laws concerning leprosy. And go show yourself to the priests. Well, the priests would just say, you're a leper, get out of here. But what Jesus is saying is, hey, if you go show yourselves to the priest, you're going to be surprised at what you see, at what he sees in your flesh and in your skin. And so it says, as they were going, took faith to go, because he didn't say you're healed. He just said, go show yourselves to the priest. As they were going, they weren't healed until they started off toward the priest. As they were going, they were cleansed. And they probably noticed it in one another. And then they began to look at their own hands and their own extremities and say, hey, my skin has been restored. As they were going, they were cleansed. Now, can you imagine having a disease like leprosy, which is a death sentence and a horrible death sentence, having that disease, and all of a sudden, you are healed. You are cleansed of your leprosy. Your mind would just flood with the exhilaration of getting your life back. I can go home again. I can hug my wife and kiss my wife and hug my children and kiss my children. I can be with them and I can participate in worship again. I can do all these things. My life is returning to me. And it would just be, it would be beyond the beyond in, as far as exhilaration. And you would think that gratitude would just flood your heart for the master who healed them. But it says, as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at the Lord's feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Samaritan is a Jewish half-breed, half Jew, half Gentile, half Jew, half pagan. And they had weird religious beliefs. They worshipped on Mount Gerizim, and the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. They were polluted. They had cooties deluxe. That's what they thought. They wouldn't do business with them. They wouldn't drink after them. You know, this is now the second Samaritan that Jesus is going to encounter and not only heal, but also save. The first was in John 4, the woman at the well, and then so many in that village received Christ and put their faith and trust in Jesus. They said, we recognize you are Savior, the Savior of the world. And this guy came back and he was a Samaritan. So it's a shock to the system and a shock to the listeners that a Samaritan would be the one, not the other nine Jews, but a Samaritan to give glory to God. And Jesus answered and said to them, were there not 10 cleansed? But the nine, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Glory to God. Well, he was giving glory to Jesus. Jesus is God. Just a little subtle nugget of truth right there. Jesus is God. So he gave glory to Jesus, who is God. He said, was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Literally, your faith has saved you. It is amazing what the Lord did for this guy. He not only cleansed him of leprosy, he not only gave him a wonderful life, gave him his life back, so to speak, so that he could participate with people again, so that he could love his family and love his wife and be there with his loved ones. But he gave him a greater gift, and that is the gift of salvation. Your faith has saved you. Now, I want us to kind of break down this story this morning on Real Truth for Today, and we're coming up on a break, so I'll begin the breakdown of this story when we get back. But just know this, God wants you and me to be grateful, thankful Christians. We have so much to praise the Lord about. The old song says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Do you take time every day to thank the Lord for what he's given you, what you do have, and not focus in, as the children of Israel did, on what they didn't have any longer? They didn't have the pots of meat. They didn't have the leeks and the onions, and they didn't have a vast menu, because all they had was manna. Listen, God is good. And we need to thank him. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise, which is a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back.
Did you know the abortion pill accounts for over 50% of all abortions? Preborn Ministry continues to stand with women in crisis in their darkest hour and bring hope and life. After Marissa took the abortion pill, she immediately regretted it, but Preborn was there for her.
Look at that baby. Look how beautiful he is. Look at that. Abortion pill reversal actually works. Let's hear his heartbeat. Oh, look how strong it is. Praise God.
By God's amazing grace, this baby was saved, but many more need our help. To learn how you can be a part of rescuing babies' lives and sharing the heart of Jesus, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com, or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial-strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
My father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about thankfulness and being grateful to the Lord. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, whatever comes your way, give thanks to God, not necessarily for it, but in it, because God is over it all. Now, we've been looking at the story in Luke's gospel of the 10 lepers. If you remember that story, Jesus cleansed all 10. Go show yourselves to the priest. They cried out to him with a loud voice, with their voice, and they raised their voice to the top of it of what it would go. But remember, leprosy affects your vocal cords. And so leprosy makes your voice weak and thin and raspy, and it cracks. And so they raised their voice as much as they could, and they said to Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They cried out for mercy, and the Lord healed them. Go show yourselves to the priest. As they were going, they were cleansed. But one of the guys, a Samaritan, he turned back, and he said, I must give glory to God. And we see his healing because it says he turned back glorifying God with a loud voice. His voice had been healed. It wasn't weak and thin and raspy anymore. And he fell on his face at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and he was giving thanks to him. He was glorifying God. Jesus is God. And Jesus asked the question, hey, wait a minute. There were 10. Where are the other 9. How come they didn't come back? Now, we ask ourselves the question, hey, think about this. You're in that story. You're the one of the 10 that has leprosy. And you are healed as you go to the priest. Do you come back and give thanks and praise to the Lord? Or do you go show yourself to the priest? That's what he told you to do. So, hey, I need to go show myself to the priest. Hey, when God does what he did for those guys, the proper response is to immediately turn back and give him thanks and praise. You know, we are quick to pray, Lord, help me, Lord, heal me, Lord, provide for me. And when he does help, when he does heal, when he does provide, then we tend to forget him. We tend to take the blessing and run. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Lord spoke to the people and said, listen, be careful when you enter into the land. Deuteronomy is Moses' 3 sermons to the people on the plains of Moab as they were getting ready to go into the promised land. Moses wasn't going to get to go, but he is encouraging them and he's warning them. He said, listen, when you go into the land and God blesses you, don't forget him. Watch out that you don't forget him, that your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord. He's the one who provided all of this. And so the Bible tells us, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you have breath in your lungs, it is a gift from God. And you need to use that gift to praise him. Now, the other 9, why do you think they didn't come back? Why do you think they didn't thank the Lord? Maybe it's because they felt entitled. Maybe it's because they said, well, it's about time. You know, here I am a Jew and I'm one of God's chosen people and I don't deserve this leprosy. I don't know why I got this leprosy. And it's about time that the Lord healed me. Maybe there was a little bit of entitlement in their mind. There wasn't any entitlement in the mind of the Samaritan who turned back giving glory to God and worshiping the Lord Jesus. There wasn't any of that. But maybe they felt a little entitled. You know, we have to watch that in ourselves, that we don't lose our gratitude and thankfulness because of this idea of entitlement. Everything that God does for you and me, he does as a gift of his grace. God doesn't owe us anything. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. And God gives gifts to his children. Now, here's what you have to watch for. Here's what I have to watch for. Think about it this way. You work your job and you agree with your employer. You come on, you work your job and I'm going to pay you X. Suppose you have a job and they pay you $20 an hour. So you work for 40 hours. You turn in your hours, he pays you $20 an hour. You're not necessarily effusive with your thanks when you get your paycheck. If he doesn't pay you, you say, hey, you owe me. I worked and you were supposed to pay me. That's the way this arrangement goes. And so if you don't pay me, you know, something is wrong. I'm going to sue you because you owe me this money. We're not necessarily thanking our employer when they pay us after we work. We're expecting that. That is owed to us. Now, remember this. God never gives out paychecks. He just gives presents. He doesn't owe us anything. He is good to us, and everything comes from his grace, his unmerited, unearned favor. You don't deserve his favor. I don't deserve his favor. We don't deserve his goodness and his grace. It's just that's who God is. He is so generous with his gifts. Doesn't have paychecks, only has presence. If you start to feel entitled, you will lose any gratitude and thanksgiving. But if you understand, everything I have is a gift from God. The breath in my lungs is a gift from God. That makes me very grateful and very thankful. I was talking to a man just the other day, and he said that he had to have open heart surgery, and they didn't know if he was going to live or die. And so he said when he came out of the surgery and he was feeling much better and, you know, recovering from the surgery, he said, you know, every day is a gift. Every day is a gift, because they told me that, you know, I could easily have died. And so he just lives every day with gratitude in his heart. God, thank you that you've given me another day to live. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may not come. All I have is today. And he wanted to let us know that he was, he told a group of us about his gratitude. I wanted to let us know that he was very, very grateful for the breath that God had given him for another day to live. So think about things in this fashion as you consider that story with the 10 lepers and only one coming back to praise his name. The Lord deserves your thanks and my thanks. He deserves it. He is worthy, worthy, worthy. And not only does he deserve our thanks, he desires our thanks. Jesus asks the question. He kind of marveled. There was a sting to the question. Were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9? Where are they? Why would they not come back and give me thanks and praise? He desires our thanks. He desires to hear us say, thank you, Lord. Now, thanksgiving is at sometimes a sacrifice. Psalm 50, verse 23, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes everything is not coming up roses. Everything is coming up rotten. And you just say, good grief, can anything else happen? You know, you feel on a very small scale, you feel like Job as Job started getting all this bad news. And so sometimes it's a hard thing to do, to thank God. Sometimes you have to thank God through clenched teeth. You know, when the car breaks, and when the computer breaks, and when your kids are sick, and when the work has a slowdown, and you're put on furlough for 2 weeks, and you got more month than you have money, and just problems start to mount, and you say, Lord, I thank you. I don't like this, but I'm going to give you thanks and praise in this. And he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. Sometimes it's a sacrifice because you don't feel very thankful. But listen, we don't walk by sight. We don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith in the Christian life. So although sometimes it's a sacrifice, all the time, thanksgiving honors God. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving, Psalm 50, verse 23 says, honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I will show the salvation of God. So God, the Lord Jesus, deserves your thanks and my thanks. He desires our thanks. And here's the cool thing. He works through our thanks when we're grateful and thankful people. That gives God an opportunity to work great things. First of all, he works great things in us. He changes our perspective. Now, this guy, the one Samaritan, not only did he get cleansed of leprosy, but he got cleansed of sin. Your faith has saved you. The other 9 were cleansed of leprosy, but they weren't cleansed of sin. If they had come back and worshiped the Lord and put their faith and trust in the Lord rather than just take the blessing and run, they could have experienced the salvation that comes only from Jesus. So that guy experienced a much, much greater blessing than to just be cleansed of leprosy. Hey, if you have leprosy and you die, well, that's a horrible way to die. If you're cleansed of leprosy but you don't get saved, you're still going to die. But if you get cleansed of leprosy and you get saved, oh, that's just the best. Hey, there's nothing that compares to salvation, because you're going to live forever in the life to come, either forever in heaven or forever in hell. What happens in this life, even a diagnosis like leprosy, if you know the Lord Jesus, you just know, hey, this is not going to last forever, and this is going to come to pass. And when I breathe my last in this life, I'm going to breathe my first in glory, and there is no leprosy in heaven. There is no disease in heaven. There are no hospital beds in heaven. I will be healthy and whole with the Lord. So the greatest gift of all is salvation. And that guy that turned back to give glory to the Lord, he experienced salvation. God does a great work in us when we give him thanks and praise. And God helps us in as a believer, he helps us to get our eyes off our struggles and off our problems and put our eyes on Jesus. That's what Thanksgiving does. It's faith turned inside out. It says, Lord, I know you're greater than this. And Lord, I know you've allowed this to come into my life for whatever reason, for whatever purpose. I trust you. Romans 8:28, as my friend Dr. John Bassanio, pastor of First Baptist Church in Houston for so many years, he's with the Lord now. But when I was going through a hard time in ministry years ago, he ministered to me. And I'll never forget, he said, Jeff, Romans 8:28 is still in the book, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Hey, put it in the joy column. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Whatever you're going through today, a physical problem, a financial problem, a marriage problem, family problem, it is only a test. It's a test. Will you trust me? The Lord says. Job went through a test, severe test, the most severe test anyone's ever gone through, but it was only a test. And the test is, does Job fear God for nothing? Will Job serve God even if the bottom drops out? Will Job still look to the Lord? And we have the answer, as Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. So the Lord does great things in us. He does great things through us. He changes circumstances in our lives as we thank him and as we praise him. The Apostle Paul and Silas, they were in prison in Philippi. They had been beaten, and they were put in the stocks, and they were hurting, and they were bleeding, and they were in pain. They were in a dark, dingy, gross cell. You can imagine how bad a prison would be in first century Philippi. And they're in this cell, and at midnight, they were praying. Makes sense. But they were singing hymns of praise, and the prisoners were listening. The prisoners had heard people pray in the prison. Oh God, help me. Oh God, get me out of here. But they had never heard people sing hymns of praise to God in the midst of their suffering, and they were listening to that, and that got a hold of their hearts, because when the Lord sent the earthquake that opened up the prison doors and all their chains fell off, no one escaped. You know, the jailer called for the lights. He was about ready to kill himself because he thought everyone had escaped. And the penalty for letting a prisoner escape was the jailer would give his life and lose his life for that. So he said, well, I don't want to be embarrassed to be brought out before the magistrate and to be executed. I'll just execute myself. And Paul said, do yourself no harm. We are all still here. The power of thanksgiving. And the jailer fell down before Paul and Silas and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Hey, do you want God to work in your life in a powerful way? Begin to praise him. Begin to give him thanks in all things, and continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. And what is that? The fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And we are coming up on a break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls as we talk about this important subject of Thanksgiving. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I would love to talk to you and to hear your testimony of Thanksgiving. And hey, Listen, all of us can grow in gratitude. Nobody's got the market cornered on being a grateful, thankful Christian. That we all have room to grow, but it is so important. That is such a testimony to a lost and unbelieving world, is when Christians are grateful and thankful. Yes, we fight for the truth. Yes, we stand up for the truth, but we always have an attitude of gratitude to our Lord who gave his life for us on the cross. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Election Day is November 8th. For the first time, iVoter Guide is covering select statewide ballot measures, some of which will affect voter identification laws and abortion. This important part of your voter guide is available now and can be found at the bottom of your personalized iVoter Guide ballot. To see the arguments for and against and other research, click on the More button or the amendment title. For all this information and more, please visit iVoterGuide.com. That's iVoterGuide.com.
Hello, this is Edward Graham, and I've got a great idea for you this Christmas. Through Operation Christmas Child, you can share hope with a child in need. Fill a shoebox with toys, school supplies, and hygiene items. Add your picture and an encouraging note. We'll deliver your shoebox gift to a child alongside the greatest gift of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. This year, Operation Christmas Child will hand out its 200 millionth shoebox gift. So join us this Christmas. Thank you very much.
My name is Isabella, and I received my Operation Christmas Child shoebox shortly after the fall of the communist regime in Romania. During this difficult time in my life, this shoebox was a splash of color in my black and white world. You can make a difference in the life of a child by packing a shoebox through Operation Christmas Child. To learn more or to pack a shoebox gift online, visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
A teenage jihadist comes to Christ. Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and I met young Ahmed when I visited the Middle East. His father died fighting for ISIS, his mother was an extremist, and young Ahmed was going to be a suicide bomber by killing himself and others, being sold out to violent Islam. Now, his mother and siblings, they came to Christ, they prayed nonstop for his salvation, and when it came, he was beaten nearly to death by extremists. And when I caught up with him several villages over, I asked, Ahmed, what's your Bible mean to you? And he said, I can look here and see where Jesus says they'll hate you because they hated me, and where Jesus says, I'm with you always. Now listen, having a Bible, it meant everything to him and gave him perspective, and his prayer was for believers there who need God's word to endure and persevere. And I said, Ahmed, those Bibles, they're coming. $5 sends a Bible, $50 sends 10, $500 sends 100. Please, in this season of giving, bless the persecuted church by calling 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org. sendbiblesnow.org. And God bless you for caring.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the subject of Thanksgiving. November is the month where we have Thanksgiving Day, and every day for a Christian is Thanksgiving Day because we are to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we would love to hear from you. The number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. As we talk about gratitude and thanksgiving, the Lord deserves it, the Lord desires it, and the Lord works through it. So we have Demetrius on the line from Houston, Texas. Demetrius, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Jeff. Pleasure to be on the phone with you. Yes, I have much to be grateful for. I just been out of prison for 2.5 years. I did 25 years in federal prison. And I would just like to say to those that are struggling out there, and whether you be a felon or not, and things are hard, you're absolutely right. It is difficult to praise during the times of hardship. Make no mistake, I deserved everything I got. It's only by the grace of God that I was released. And I'm continuing on in my faith. There's nothing false or fake about it. I love the Lord, and I'm thankful for what he has done for me. I wouldn't change anything, Jeff. I wouldn't change anything. He allowed me those hardships in my own life for my own foolishness, because of my own foolishness. And there's a ministry that is still going on in the prison that I left, allowed to be holding a Bible study for the last 20 years of my incarceration, and I was able to allow that or to pass it on to the other brother that I left behind. So, listeners, felons or not, when it's hard, it is difficult to praise, but not impossible. He will give us the grace to get through the hardships that we face as believers, as believers.
Amen. Well, I think that although I haven't had that experience, I would think that you would need to come to grips to say, okay, this is my reality, and I can kick against the goads, or I can say, Lord, use this for good in my life and use me as a blessing. Sounds like you did that.
Absolutely. That was his hand. I am so grateful. Again, I missed out on my son. He's 28 years old. And I just know that the Lord knows better, even beyond my understanding, as the scriptures say. It was his will that allowed me to get caught up in my foolishness so that he may do his good, glorious work, that his name may be glorified.
Amen. Well, thank you for your faithfulness, Demetrius, and thank you for calling in today. And you've been out for how long?
2.5 years. I've been blessed with a faithful wife that loves the Lord first. She has blessed me with a beautiful baby girl. I just recently got a brand new home, and yes, I work hard every day. My knees hurt. My hands hurt. I'm 48 years old after I went in when I was 19. But it's okay. It's okay. You know, even the house doesn't make me or break me. It is Christ that makes me and breaks me.
Amen. Amen. Great testimony. Thank you for calling in today, and may God continue to bless you and use you. Demetrius, you've encouraged my heart today with your testimony. So God bless you, brother. Well, we have Ashton from Alexandria, Louisiana. Ashton, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, I'm just calling about a simple bilateral contract with God, Psalm 50:15. He demands that we give him glory if he helps us. And it came to my attention about 18 years ago when I was going through some really rough time. And I have made sure I don't break that contract. I give him praise every day. And it's you've got to keep your eyes open and see what he's doing for you. And Amen. Give him the glory when he does something.
Amen. Amen. And even here's the thing, even when you don't see God working, he's doing things behind the scenes. He doesn't tell us everything that he does. He just says, trust me. So Psalm 50:15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and you will honor me. A great, great verse. Well, Ashton, thank you for that. And the Lord has obviously been working in your life, and I appreciate you sharing that. How long have you been walking with Jesus?
Well, I was saved at 19. I got pulled away by the people around me, thought I had joined a cult. I was like 45 when I got back into the church and rededicated, and have not missed a beat since.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for listening to the program. Thank you for calling in today. God bless you, my friend. Well, I was when Ashton said that, it immediately drew my attention to a story that I had used in a sermon years ago about Corrie ten Boom. Corrie is one of my favorite saints of yesteryear. You know, she was the one that wrote the book The Hiding Place and experienced those things with her family as they hid the Jews and tried to protect the Jews from the Nazis. And they were arrested, and Corrie and Betsy were put into a Nazi concentration camp. And this is what she writes. Corrie said, Barracks 8 was in the quarantine compound, and next to us, perhaps as a deliberate warning to newcomers, were located the punishment barracks. And from there, all day long and often into the night, came the sounds of hell itself. They were not sounds of anger or of any human emotion, but of a cruelty altogether detached, blows landing in regular rhythm, screams keeping pace. We would stand in our 10-deep ranks with our hands trembling at our sides, longing to jam them against our ears to make the sounds stop. It grew harder and harder. Even within these four walls, there was too much misery, too much seemingly pointless suffering. Every day, something else failed to make sense. Something else grew too heavy. Yet in the midst of suffering, the women prisoners around Corey and Betsy found comfort in the Bible studies they held in the barracks. And Corey said that when they first went to the barracks, the straw bed platforms were filled with fleas. And she thought, how can they live in such a place? And Corey's sister Betsy said, well, Corey, the Bible tells us, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus. And she said, Corey, we need to give thanks to God. And Corey said, no, I will not give thanks to God for the fleas. And she said, but we're supposed to in all things thank God, even for the fleas. We thank him in all things. And so Corey reluctantly joined Betsy and thanked God in the situation with the fleas. And what they found out was they could have Bible study in their barracks, and the guards never bothered them, and the guards never came back there. There was no harassment, and it was all because of the fleas. The guard said, we don't want to go back there. There are fleas back there. We don't want to get fleas on ourselves. And so they didn't ever go back there, and they were free to have Bible study and to speak freely to the other ladies, all because of the fleas. Hey, God works in ways we cannot see. You know, everybody has fleas, quote unquote, in his or her life. And we have those things that we can't see any use for, things that are horrible and unpleasant and painful, things that we say, just like Paul with the thorn in the flesh, I prayed three times that this might be taken away from me. But the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. Remember this, no life is free of fleas, but we're to give thanks to God in all things, and just know that God is over it all. And God has a purpose in it all. God is a purposeful creator. And so everything he creates, everything he allows to come into our lives, it's for a reason, it's for a purpose. The Apostle Paul, with his thorn in the flesh, that was for a reason, that was for a purpose, to keep him from exalting himself. And he learned a lesson that God's grace is sufficient for him. And he turned that thorn that he didn't want, he turned it into praise and says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of God may dwell in me. Because the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Hey, I want to share this story with you. This is a powerful story, a real life story, of a guy named Edward Spencer. He was awakened in the middle of the night. There was a ship that had collided in the waters of Lake Michigan, 2 a.m. on September 8th, 1860. And the waters were stormy, and the passengers were drowning, 300 passengers and crew on a round-trip sightseeing tour from Milwaukee to Chicago. He got up out of bed. He went to the shore there. He was an experienced swimmer, a young guy, just 16, 17 years old. He had them tie a rope around his body. He fought the breakers to rescue people. He did that for 6 hours. He was bruised and bloodied because of the wreckage in the water, and it was obviously dark, and he's fighting the waves. He would grab onto a person. They would pull him back with the rope, and he did that for 6 hours. He finally fell unconscious, just exhausted and beaten down. He saved 17 people. He was never the same after that experience, physically and emotionally. It took such a toll on his body. He never finished his degree, and he was never able physically to perform anymore. He was confined to a wheelchair for the rest of his life because his body had been so so debilitated through that experience. Years later, he was asked about saving those people, and he said with tears in his eyes, he said, I saved 17 people that night, and not one of those rescued ever came back and even said, thank you. Can you imagine? Hey, how often do we do that with the Lord? He does great and mighty things in our lives, and we don't thank him. We don't turn back like the Samaritan did, fall at his feet, cry out with a loud voice, and worship him and give him glory. The Lord deserves our thanks. He desires our thanks. He works through those who praise him. Well, we have CK on the line from Bay City, Texas. CK, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. What a mighty God we serve, Brother Jeff.
Amen. Go ahead, my friend.
1 Thessalonians 5:18 revolutionized and changed my perspective in my life for the rest of my life. In January, we had a house fire, me and my wife and 1.5-year-old daughter. And after it was over, after I'd gotten home, I called my dad and I told him about it. And he said, son, did you praise God for it? I said, what? Did you not understand what I just told you? I said, are you crazy, Dad? You want me to praise God for my house fire? He said, yes. Very calmly, I said, you didn't hear what I said. Apparently, he said, no. He said, did you read that book that I gave you? I said, what book? He said, Prison to Praise. I said, no, sir, I didn't. He said, well, read it and you'll understand what I'm talking about. And it's a book that you can find at a website, foundationofpraise.org. Mm-hmm. It's in California. My dad would use that as a evangelism tool. He would buy 100 in a case at a time because they sell it at bulk rate pricing. And so, and they're in prisons too. And so anyway, I read the book, and that coupled along with Romans 8:28 revolutionized my life for the rest of my life. And, you know, I was given a disciplinary for parking on the grass at prison, you know, because my car windows and my AC didn't work correctly. And he came and knocked on my door, and he said, is that your car? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, come see me. So I got in the shower. I'd just gotten off work for a third shift. And he said, come see me. And so while I was in the shower, I said, Father, I want to give you praise and thanks for this disciplinary that I'm about to receive from my lieutenant. And whatever the outcome is, I know it will be your will. Because in the King James Version, Brother Jeff, it's very important. The King James Version says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Mm-hmm. And whenever I read those last two words, concerning you, I broke down and I cried because the Holy Spirit said to me, son, I am concerned about every little detail of your life. You know, I went to that disciplinary hearing with the lieutenant, and he said, after a while, the course of the conversation changed, and he wound up giving me a job reference to work in a funeral home, which I had schooling for.
Amen.
And he handed me the disciplinary paper, and he said, here, this is yours. I'm not going to turn it in. You do with it what you want to.
Amen.
Whenever I stood up to shake his hand, I said, you know what? God did this right here. I said, God set this whole thing up. And he said, you know what? I believe you're right.
Amen. Thank you for that testimony, CK. We are out of time, but I appreciate it. And that book, Prison of Praise, was used by God to change my mom's life, too. So you're listening to Real Truth for today. Thanks for being with us. We'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.